In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Leicester Home, Wimbledon, March 10th. The kids run into the garden.
Let me just get my camera.
The kids wearing party hats race round the garden. One bounces on a trampoline. Mrs. Leicester opens a door. A dead man with a bloody head. Ronnie's at the scene.
Cause of death, Joy?
Well, a single blow to the head, I'd say. Not much signs of a struggle, though, by the looks of things.
Right.
And, yeah, even got a murder weapon. No office should be without one.
Any paperweight?
Very good. Thank you.
I took the kids out for a meal. I knew Neil wouldn't be home from work until at least 6:30.
6:30.
Joe makes a note.
I think we can put the time of death to between 2 and 4:30.
OK. Mrs. Leicester, I'm sorry, but I'll have to ask you a few more questions if you don't mind. What line of business is your husband in?
He works in the IT department for a market research company.
Right.
Did he ever take any mornings off or half days, that kind of thing?
Never. He was up most of the night putting Ethan's trampoline together. He swore blind the instructions were...
Her face crumples and she hangs her head.
Listen, Mrs. Leicester, why don't we get one of our officers to get a car sorted out, run you and Ethan maybe to a relative's or a friend's close by, get you out of here, eh?
A WPC escorts Sally Leicester away. Joe stands up. Beside him is a table of party food.
Nice gaff.
Good
job.
He studies a family photo.
This guy had the whole package.
Yeah, someone wanted him dead.
Neil lies sprawled on the floor. Law. Bradley Walsh as craggy-faced DS Ronnie Brooks. Ben Bailey-Smith as athletic DS Joe Hawkins. Patterson Joseph as ruggedly handsome DI Wes Layton. Order. Dominic Rowan as clean-cut SCP Jake Thorne. Georgia Taylor as short, attractive CP Kate Barker. And Peter Davison as grey-haired Henry Sharp. Law and Order UK. This episode, Pride. Day. Wes strides towards his office with Ronnie and Joe following. Ronnie's studying a report.
There is no sign of forced entry, although there is a laptop missing from Neil Lester's desk. Forensics are running up the profiles of the crime scene, although the house is full of sticky fingers.
All right, what about a murder weapon?
Well, they've ran the prints through PNC and there's no match.
And the wife?
Well, you're not likely to bash your husband's head in just before your kid's party, are you?
Oh, you'd be surprised, son.
Well, whoever had a beef with Neil Lester knew there was something on that laptop and they wanted it back.
Yeah, well, he had something he didn't want anyone else to see.
Start by finding out why Neil Leicester came home from work early yesterday, will you?
Right.
Ronnie to Joe.
You coming?
AKDC Marketing, Farringdon.
So, Miss Edwards, Neil Leicester.
A valued member of the team. He's a little quiet. He always hit his targets.
And what is it that you do here?
So, we act as a liaison between large retail clients and their consumers.
Right. And what about yesterday?
What about it?
Well, I mean, how did he seem? Agitated? Did he go home early from... So he's sick or something?
I don't follow.
I mean, he was working here yesterday, wasn't he?
Neil Leicester hasn't worked with us for the past 9 months. Like most businesses, we had to make cutbacks, and I'm afraid it was a case of last in, first out.
Leicester Home, Wimbledon.
I used to drive him to the station every morning. We didn't have secrets. At least I didn't think we did.
Did you notice any change in his behaviour?
Like what?
Was he depressed or did he feel agitated or... Excuse me, one second. Sorry, hello?
Ronnie leaves the room.
What we need you to do is help us understand a little more about Neil. You know, sometimes even the smallest details can help.
Sally stares out of the window.
Ethan hasn't been near that trampoline. Not sensitive.
I'm ever so sorry about that. My apologies. Mrs. Lester? Sorry, if you won't mind.
He motions her to a seat.
That was our guys back at the office. They've been going through some bank statements. And just need to ask you a couple of questions about your family finances.
Neil used to take care of all that.
What do you know about £160,000 in a savings account?
You must be mistaken.
Well, it was deposited 3 months after Neil lost his job.
LPB Bank, Barbican. A cashier studies documents as she walks.
According to our records, Neil Lester opened the account with us 6 months ago. Oh, that's odd.
What's that?
Well, he closed it 24 hours later.
Now, why would someone go to all the hassle of opening an account just to shut it down again?
I don't know. What about the 160 grand?
Well, it was transferred to Neil Lester from the account of an Edward Stewart.
Stewart, right. Any information on him?
Well, as luck would have it, Mr. Stewart also has an account with us. Yeah, he recently took out a further advance.
What's that in English?
It's a loan against the value of his property. Here, have a look.
Right, thank you.
She's now sitting at a computer. Ronnie studies the documents.
So what's this Stewart guy got to do with Lester?
Well, I don't know, but whatever it is, chances are he was doing more than just helping out a mate.
Lincoln Rise, Turnham Green.
So Eddie Stewart, right, yeah, takes out a loan to pay off Neil Lester.
Well, what are we looking at here, though, Ron? What, blackmail? Gambling debts?
I don't know, either that or some sort of elaborate bank fraud, who knows?
A builder opens up.
Edward Stewart?
Never heard of him.
D.S. Brooks, this is D.S. Hawkins. 47 Lincoln's Rise, yeah?
Oh, I hope so. Oh, I've just ripped up the floor in the wrong house.
And who are you?
Rob Ebden, property developer.
You own this place now?
He went to auction 3 months ago. Turns out the owner stopped paying his bills. Did a run of all accounts.
At the police station.
Oh, any news, Ron?
Well, it seems our man, Edward Stewart, took out some sort of homeowner loan before legging it.
Leaving the bank 160 grand out of pocket.
OK. You reckon they're in on it together?
Well, who knows? Deal goes a bit pear-shaped. Neil Lester gets his head stoved in. Don't even think about it.
Any leads?
We ran a check on Stewart's mobile, bank accounts. It's like our boy's gone AWOL.
Yeah, and he's looking into next of kin.
All right, well, in the meantime, get back out there. Someone's bound to know where he's hiding.
Yep.
Ronnie closes his jar of jelly beans that Joe was eyeing. Chiswick High Street.
Hey, so landlady in the Oaks says she hasn't seen him in over 3 months.
And he hasn't been in there for a while either. Do you know the problem with the 21st century, son?
Hmm?
There is no sense of community anymore.
Not like the good old days, right? When everything was black and white.
Hello?
Yeah?
At least in my day, we used to talk to each other. Now it's just all texting and tweeting. No one's interested in the world around him.
All right, Gramps, come on.
Joe was ogling a woman.
Eddie's table over there.
When was the last time you saw him?
Oh, about a month ago now. He didn't pop in like he used to.
Did he knock around with any mates, or do you know anyone who knows where he's staying?
You want to talk to Felix Hargreaves? They're as thick as thieves.
Where'll we find him?
He'll be trying his luck down the community centre.
They're eating in a cafe. Oak Reach Community Centre, March 11th.
What goes on here, then?
Well, looks like a bit of street dance, hip-hop. Freestyle.
Nothing for an old mod.
Mod, run. Leave this one to me, yeah?
Joe opens double doors. Old age pensioners are dancing.
On you go, son.
Can I help you?
Yeah, we're looking for a Felix Hargreaves.
That's him over there, making a nuisance of himself. Would you like to join in? We're always short of men.
Oh, you reckon you could show us a few new moves, then?
Well, I'm the over-60s waltzing champion. 3 years running.
Well, that's a very kind offer, I'm sure, but my man here has to do a bit of work.
Maybe next time.
Nice talking to you.
Felix is sitting at a table with three women.
Anything like that, she amazing, really.
Felix Hargreaves. Detective Sergeant Brooks. This is Detective Sergeant Hawkins. We'd like a quick word, if we may.
Oh, yeah, about what exactly?
Well, I think it'd be best if we were to chat in private, if you don't mind, ladies.
If you'll excuse me, ladies, you'll see.
The elegant elderly ladies get up and move away.
I was on a promise, then.
Well, you know, Mr. Hargreaves, the more helpful you can be, the quicker you can get back to them, so...
I'd like to talk to you about a friend of yours, Edward Stewart.
It's Eddie. No one calls him Edward.
Have you known him long?
We served together in 52. Paratroopers.
And where's Eddie now?
Felix falters slightly.
Ah, packed up and moved, you know. Abroad. Australia.
Felix holds their gaze.
Right. You must miss him.
Brothers in arms, you know. I'd have done anything for that kid.
What about family?
I'm the only family he needs. Now, if you'll excuse me, officers, I have a little unfinished business I must attend to.
He gently pushes through them. In the main office, Ronnie's pouring coffee at the drink station when Wes pops in.
Ron?
You want some coffee, Wes?
Oh, no, thanks, mate. Listen, Ange managed to track down an extra kin. It's a daughter in Finsbury Park.
Oh, great. Well, let's see what she's got to say for herself, eh?
Wes gives them a look.
What's up?
I want to take a look.
Wes points to something in the file, then stares down gravely. Outside a smart Victorian terraced house.
So how are we going to do this?
Just leave me to do the talking, I think. Right, Gov.
Ronnie.
Any chance of a cuppa?
It's Natalie Chandler.
I was sorry to hear about your mum.
Yeah, well, she was ready to go by the inn. Thanks anyway.
They enter her kitchen.
You going to introduce yourself?
Oh, yeah, DS Joe Hawkins.
Yeah.
So, now we've got the pleasantries out of the way, what are you really here for? Come on, Ronnie, we've known one another 30 years. When did you ever drop in for a cup of tea?
Yeah. Well, it's just about your dad, really. We'd just like to ask him a few questions, that's all.
My dad? What about?
When did you last see him?
4 months ago.
Did he leave a forwarding address?
Why would he? He's lived in the same house for 30 years.
Yeah. Well, that's just it, you see, Gov. Things. It turns out that he defaulted on a few loan repayments and they've repossessed his house and taken it away, so...
No, that's not right.
You weren't in contact?
Not since my mum got sick and moved in with me. He didn't take kindly to my relieving him of his duties, so to speak.
Right. His friend Felix mentioned something about Australia.
What have you been talking to Felix for?
Well, just that they were good friends, that's all.
Could somebody please tell me what's going on?
We believe your dad went into business with a Neil Lester.
I've never heard of Neil Lester.
Well, he may have been linked with a possible bank fraud.
Yeah, and what's that got to do with my dad?
Well, Gov, the thing is, you see, Neil Lester...
Lester was found dead on Monday afternoon. Her head must be racing. I mean, imagine if that was your old man.
Yeah, but, Joe, hang on, we don't know what we're dealing with here, do we?
OK, but it's not looking good for him, is it?
I don't understand why you got into business at that age, is it?
Last throw of the dice, maybe.
He's 78.
Yeah, he took a risk.
And it backfired.
Ange, got any good news for us, love?
Yeah, Uniform traced Lester's laptop back to a second-hand shop in Shepherd's Bush.
So is this the elusive Eddie?
Wes shows a scanned image.
Not exactly.
It's Felix.
Twice in one day. Aren't I the lucky one?
We've got a little conundrum we think you might be able to help us with.
I think I'll stick to my crossword.
Well, you know what? Someone bearing a striking resemblance to your good self was seen taking a laptop into an electrical shop in Shepherd's Bush.
Since when has trying to earn a bit of extra pocket money been a crime?
Well, it's not a crime. However, Felix, that laptop was taken from a murder scene yesterday.
Felix looks panicked.
What are you talking about?
Now, whilst I really want to believe that you were not involved, I'm struggling to figure out how that laptop came to be in your possession. See, the thing is, Felix, we know Eddie was involved with Neil Lester.
How far are you going to go to protect him, eh?
A bearded man walks towards them and hesitates.
Edward Stewart?
Don't say anything.
How can I help you?
Edward Stewart. I'm arresting you on suspicion of the murder of Neil Lester. Do you not have to say anything? But it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned something you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given as evidence.
Eddie looks at Felix, who gives him a reassuring wink. Ronnie's at his desk and ignores a call from Natalie.
How many times has she called now?
Oh, I don't know. Half a dozen, maybe.
You told her dad's been arrested.
Wes, let's jump in the gun a bit, mate, innit, don't you think?
Do you want me to take this?
Ronnie gives Joe an as-if look.
How long's he been a DS? What, an hour?
You treat him as you would any other murder suspect. Ronnie, is that understood?
Yes. Wes.
Eddie, a white-haired man with a close-cut beard, sits in an interview room, staring down. He looks up as Joe and Ronnie enter the room. Ronnie smiles.
Hello, Eddie. Doing all right?
Joe sits, Ronnie stands.
Why don't we get all this boring stuff out of the way, eh? And we can all get home. Have a nice kip. How does that sound?
I'm not going to argue with you.
Right, there you are. See, Joe? Ed is a straight talker, just like his daughter.
Eddie stares down sheepishly. Ronnie sits opposite him.
Why don't we talk about yesterday afternoon? What were you doing between 2 and 4.30, Eddie?
I was taking a nap.
Right. You weren't in Southwest London?
Not unless I was sleepwalking.
Anyone vouch for you?
I tend to sleep alone these days.
Why don't you tell us about the laptop, Mr. Stewart?
We found it in a skip.
What did you do, just flog it, get some extra cash?
I'm a pensioner. Got to earn my pin money somewhere.
Yeah, of course. What about Neil Lester?
Never heard of him.
Really? He's dead. And his head bashed in yesterday afternoon.
But you knew that already. Because you were there, weren't you?
Eddie looks away and scans about.
Eddie.
Eddie stares at the ceiling.
Eddie. Did you kill him?
I already told you I don't know any Lester.
And yet you gave him £160,000.
And why would I do that?
That's what we'd like to know.
Mr. Stewart, can you tell us what this is?
You're the detective, you tell me.
It's a request for a bank transfer to a Neil Lester.
Wes watches on monitors.
Dated September 30th.
Joe and Ronnie fix him with deadpan stares.
Right, let's start again, shall we? Did you or did you not pay Neil Lester 160 grand?
Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. I forget a lot of things as I get older.
Ronnie glances at Joe, then looks at Eddie again.
Right, interview terminated. 4:13.
Wes, holding scanned photos, watches Ronnie and Joe leave the interview room. They enter the monitor room.
Yeah, look, Ron, this is Eddie, arriving at South Wimbledon Tube at 2:18. And this is him, returning again at 11 minutes past three.
Ronnie studies the image.
Any news from the lab?
Yeah. It's all bad. Eddie's prints are all over the murder weapon.
Ronnie removes his reading specs and looks saddened.
Actually, Joe, I'll sit in on the next interview.
Wes, there's no need for
Ronnie, you are too close to this. I don't want anyone saying there's a conflict of interest.
Oh, well.
Wes goes. Joe watches Ronnie, who ponders and shakes his head.
Hey. He's got a point, you know.
Get Natalie Chandler down here quick as you can. Eddie, I'd like to introduce you to my colleague. This is Detective Inspector Wes Late.
Now, don't mind me. I'm just here to make up my numbers.
How you feeling? You okay? I know how things sometimes get a bit muddled, so...
I'm not senile.
No one's saying you are, Eddie. Let's get back to yesterday afternoon, shall we? Did you visit the home of Neil Lester?
I already told you I've never heard of him.
How do we explain the prints, then, Eddie? Well, they're in the house and they're all over the weapon we believe killed Neil Lester.
Wes is standing.
Let's just rewind. Start again.
Wes sits down. Eddie looks uneasy.
Have you ever visited the home of Neil Lester, either yesterday or at any other time?
Eddie remains poker-faced. Outside the room...
So, we know he was at Neil Lester's house. We know he may well have bashed his skull in, but what I'm struggling to get my head around is, Wes, why?
Yeah, well, I think 160 grand is reason enough, don't you?
Yeah, but why is he handing over that money in the
first
place?
Look, it was a loan, it was a business deal. Whatever the reason was, it ended up with Neil dead.
Wes, he is a pensioner. Ugh. What is he doing messing around with that money
You're
in the first place?
You're clutching at straws now, Ron. Listen, you know what you've got to do.
Natalie hurries into the police station and goes to the desk sergeant. Joe is with her.
Could you buzz me through?
Hey, just give me 5 minutes, yeah?
I don't want anyone speaking to him before my brief arrives. Is that understood?
Joe, 1 second, son.
Can I see him?
Gov, look, that's not going to be possible.
Why not?
Can we go somewhere a bit quieter and talk about
it? I'll cut the bullshit, Ronnie. Just tell me what's happening.
Well, we've charged your dad with the murder of Neil Lester.
Natalie looks polaxed.
I don't envy you, Jake. Natalie Chandler's a formidable woman.
Can't say it's a prospect I'm particularly relishing.
How's it looking?
All the evidence is there. We're just lacking one key ingredient, a motive.
Aside from the money?
That's how and why it came into play in the first place. That's what I'm struggling with.
They enter a boardroom.
Ah, Henry, finally, someone who talks a bit of sense.
I had no idea you were still practicing.
You thought I'd thrown in the towel years ago, didn't you? Well, sorry to disappoint. Geoffrey Sykes, I'll be representing Edward Stewart. Now, tell me, Mr. Thorne, why are we even here? As far as I can see, there's no case to answer.
Mr. Stewart's prints were found at the victim's house as well as on the murder weapon. I'd say that was fairly conclusive, wouldn't you?
Perhaps Lester invited him over for a cup of tea.
And there is the small matter of the money that he gave to him.
Since when was a gift a crime?
Rather extravagant gift, wouldn't you say?
Well, it's not my job to question his generosity.
And yet your client made a statement claiming he'd never met Lester.
He's old. He forgets things.
Is that your defense?
Well, it's a start. My client is a decorated war veteran who spends most of his day playing bridge in the local community center.
Neil Lester was a loving husband and father.
Who kept a large amount of money hidden from his wife. I know who I'd believe.
Crown v. Stewart, plea and case management hearing April 16th. Eddie, wearing a blazer and tie, rises in the dock.
Edward Stewart, you've been charged with murder contrary to common law. The particulars of the offence are that on the 14th day of March, you murdered Neil Lester. To this charge, how do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
My lord, we apply for Mr. Stewart to be remanded into custody.
My lord, my client is an upstanding member of the community.
I'd like to hear the application, if it's all the same, Mr. Sykes.
Evidence has come to light that Mr. Stewart may well be a flight risk.
A flight risk? My client is barely mobile, my lord.
A statement from D.S. Brooks mentions Mr. Stewart's plans to move to Australia. I'd say that poses a considerable threat, wouldn't you?
I should point out that my client is a pensioner of 78 who has never been in trouble in his life.
Mr. Stewart, given the nature and the seriousness of this charge, you will be held on remand until a date can be found for you to stand trial.
This is ridiculous. It's clear to everyone but the Crown that my father isn't fit to stand trial, let alone enter a plea.
I'm sorry, who are you?
His daughter. Natalie Chandler, Detective Inspector.
Of course, Miss Chandler. I'm sorry I didn't recognize you without my glasses. A regular fixture in my court at one time. Mr. Sykes, has the defendant's fitness to enter a plea been considered?
My client made no appeal for leniency, my lord. It would have been an obvious line of defense.
My father was admitted to North Middlesex University Hospital last April for a fall, and it's clear from the medical reports that his mental state was fragile, at best.
In light of this new information, the defense would like to make an application to withdraw the plea that has just been entered. We would also like to apply for an adjournment so that a full assessment can be carried out to address the concerns on fitness.
I'm inclined to agree with the defense in this instance. The defendant will be kept on remand and the case will be adjourned for 4 weeks.
Outside the courts.
Are you pleased with yourself?
Of course not. You know as well as I do, I don't choose the cases I get. I really am sorry, Natalie. I don't suppose this is an easy time for anyone.
If I have my way, I won't even make it into that witness box.
Come on, we both know your father's mental health isn't the issue here. Subjecting him to an endless cycle of psychological assessments isn't going to alter the fact he's up on a murder charge. And as much as I want to help him, I can't do that unless he starts talking.
Natalie's in a pub with Ronnie.
Gov, tell the truth. Do you honestly think your old man's losing the plot?
He's as sharp as they come.
Well, you realise you're playing with fire here, don't you?
Yeah, what choice have I got? I can't sit around doing nothing. He's looking at life, or a recommendation of at least 15.
But he's not playing ball, Gov. He really isn't. His defence team are scrambling around in the dark.
If I could just see him.
Gov, I'm sorry. Look,
I stuck my neck on the line by talking to you.
And I appreciate that.
If Wes gets a sniff of this...
He's not going to, is he?
He meets her determined look and hesitates.
Okay, what would you do?
Well, I question his motive for a start. He's never so much as mentioned this Lester, and now I'm expected to believe he's in some kind of business arrangement with him.
Gov, we can place your dad at that house that afternoon. How do you explain that? Because he's keeping shtum, he's not saying it.
I don't know.
Well, everything is pointing to your dad.
Who gives 160k to a virtual stranger?
I get it, Gov. I totally get it. I understand.
I'm not having him go down for this. I'm not. Not if I can help it.
Dr. Toby Marsh's office, Harley Street, April 17th.
So I'm old. I forget things. Doesn't mean I'm crazy.
No one's saying that, Eddie.
Well, you're a psychiatrist, aren't you?
I'm just here to assess whether
you... whether I'm fit to enter a plea.
He's being videoed.
My body may have slowed me up, Mr. Marsh, but my mind is something else entirely. Well, go on, then. What do you want to know? Who the Prime Minister is? How much a bottle of milk costs? Well, fire away, because I'm ready for you.
The psychiatrist instructed by your defence raised some concerns.
That's because they twisted my answers. I already told them. Neil Lester was an old friend. I don't remember where we met. But we did.
Watching the video.
Now, can we just get this thing over?
I thought you said they'd never met.
It would appear he's changed his story. Aided by the defence, no doubt.
Well, why wait until now?
Memory lapse, perhaps? Either that, or he's been deliberately obtuse.
There's no denying he's forgetful, a little confused at times.
But?
He's 78. Comes with the territory.
Would you deem him fit to enter a plea?
I'd like to see the defence prove otherwise.
He still looks like my granddad. And most of the juries, I bet.
I agree that it's not ideal. We'll just have to hope they see past the sentiment and stick to the facts.
Eddie and Lester were from two completely different worlds. The jury are going to struggle to find a connection. I know I am.
And it's down to us to find out what made those worlds collide.
Home of Felix Hargreaves, Shepherd's Bush.
I thought you might have been, Eddie. I find that station every day, but well, no one's told me anything.
Eddie's on remand, Felix.
Why?
Well, just until he goes on trial.
He's done nothing wrong. Tell him, will you?
No, I'm not.
God, I mean, how can you let this happen?
I'm doing everything I can, Felix. Believe me.
He's no killer. He should be here with me, not in some cell. Oh, look, I know that man inside out. I'd have known if something was wrong.
Well, Eddie claims that the money he gave Lester was a gift.
Poppycock.
He never mentioned to you about taking a loan against his home?
Why would he? He loved that place. He carried his wife over that threshold. His little girl was born there. Happiest days of his life.
Natalie looks upset.
Think I'll stick a kettle on.
When was the last time you two saw each other?
Oh, Sheila's funeral, yeah. Before that, she was always so busy with work, you know.
Natalie listens.
Apple of her father's eye.
He goes to Natalie.
He didn't hate you, you know. But he was a proud man. You made him feel like a failure.
I only wanted to make sure my mum was looked after properly.
In sickness and in health. That was the promise he made to her.
Felix, did Eddie owe anyone money, do you know?
Yeah. He never believed in debt. If he needed money, he'd have come to me.
What are these for?
Oh, we've been saving up to go to Australia. That's Peter Fenham. He moved to Sydney back in 68. Eddie always said we'd have another beer together.
Two jars of coppers, Ronnie. Does that look like someone who's going to gamble away their home?
Lester home, Wimbledon, April 17th. Ronnie goes to the door with Natalie.
They can have my job for this, you know. I've already had to lie to Joe.
It's a shame you weren't this conscientious under my watch.
He gives her a look.
No, not a word, Guff, please. Just let me do this. Thank you. Hello, Sally.
In the kitchen.
Mrs. Lester?
She gazes out of closed patio doors.
Mrs. Lester. I'm sorry. Just a couple of more questions, please.
She sits at the table with Ronnie.
Just look at the photograph once more. Just concentrate. Think back. Have you ever seen it before?
It's Eddie.
No.
All right. And what about Neil's business interests outside of work?
Neil was a family man. He wasn't interested in making a lot of money. All he wanted was to be able to provide for me and Ethan.
Do you really expect us to believe that? He's out of work 9 months and doesn't bother telling you.
My husband was a proud man.
He stashes away 160 grand without so much as treating you to a holiday. Please.
I'm sorry.
Please excuse DC Chandler's a lack of diplomacy.
Well, it does rather beg the question, doesn't it? What else he was lying about?
Mom! Just a minute, Ethan. You don't know the first thing about my husband.
Neither do you, it would seem.
Ethan runs in with a laptop.
The stupid thing keeps freezing.
I'll look at it later.
I want to play now.
Ethan, please!
She stands up and towers over Ethan, who looks shocked. He puts the laptop down on the table and runs away. She sits down.
Sorry.
That's okay.
We're finding it difficult.
Mrs. Lester, whose laptop is that?
It's Neil's old one. Ethan went and left it at a friend's house.
Natalie ponders.
But what about the laptop that was taken from the office?
He'd only had that a few months. Kept hold of that thing for years.
Mrs. Lester, I'm going to have to take this laptop away.
You can't. Ethan needs it.
No, I promise. I'll bring it back as soon as the tech boys have given it the once-over. Okay?
Ronnie and Natalie leave the house.
I thought I told you to keep it zipped.
You haven't seen anything yet.
Why don't you just think like a DI from...
It's not your dad, Ronnie.
Well, I know that, but look, Gov.
They go to her car.
Your dad's prints were all over the murder weapon.
So what are you saying? That I give up, that's it?
Well, no, of course not. But charging around like a bull in a china shop isn't helping either, is it? You've got to treat this... Governor, you've got to treat this like you would any other case. You understand? Answer me this one question, right? Forget your dad when he was at home, all right? Think of him when he was fighting for king and country, all right? Could he kill a man?
As a daughter, no.
No, as a DI.
Not without a very good reason.
But surely a bank can't arrange a loan just without any kind of conversation.
Well, Mr. Stewart was in regular correspondence with us.
Saying what?
Well, that the money was for...
The cashier looks at her computer screen.
Essential structural repairs.
So the house might have needed a bit of TLC, but that doesn't cost 160 grand.
Well, I guess he was intending to rent the property after he moved abroad.
What are you talking about?
Well, he'd asked for all his correspondence to be sent to a post office box.
Hello, Joe. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Hello, mate. I'll be right there. Give me 20... All right, fair enough. OK.
Ring all right?
Wes needs to see me. Don't do anything, OK? Please? Promise?
MIU Central Headquarters, Bow Street, April 17th. Joe sees Ronnie walking along a corridor.
Run. Wait, you are on the naughty step, man, trust me. Hairdryer treatment, not... Oi!
Wes butts in, Joe goes.
I've just spent the best part of an hour trying to persuade Sally Lester not to make an official complaint.
Wes.
Impersonating a police officer, intimidating a witness, have you completely lost the plot?
I was trying to help.
No, this
friend.
Is your first and final warning, Ronnie. You stay away from her. You understanding me? I will not have you jeopardising this case.
Wes storms off. Ronnie stands head bowed, then looks up.
Joe, cover for me, son. All right. Where are you going now?
Someone's in a hurry.
Is he always like this?
You'll get used to it.
PPC Mail Services, Tower Hill.
Can't give out personal information. Data Protection Act.
Natalie shows an ID card and obscures part of it with a finger.
Detective Inspector Chandler, let's begin again, shall we? What can you tell me about Mr. Edward Stewart?
Nice guy. Came in here a few times a week for the last 6 months. Always polite. More than can be said for that kid of his. Right little brat he was.
What sort of age, roughly, would you say Mr. Stewart was?
Early to mid-30s.
and your CCTV.
Your colleague's already asked all this.
What colleague?
Oh, one sec.
As the assistant heads towards a door, Ronnie comes out holding a folded document which he points at Natalie as he approaches her.
You promised me.
Have you looked at the footage?
I cannot believe it. Right, look. Neil Lester has owned a P.O. box in your dad's name. CCTV footage shows him visiting it at least, I don't know, twice a month for the past 6 months.
What's inside?
Overdue bills, final demands from the bank, followed by a repossession order. Joe's just been on the blower. The tech boys have been through Lester's laptop.
And?
Dates of birth, home addresses, credit card details, everything that's on it. You name it, it is on there. Over 400 potential identity frauds.
So my dad didn't give up his home?
No, Lester stole it from him.
We've got to talk to Jake about this.
We haven't got to do anything. You have done your bit. Now go home and let me do mine.
Crown Prosecution Service, London, April 18th.
You are facing life in prison, Eddie. Those are the bare facts. Of course, if I had my way, it'd be Neil Lester on the stand.
What are you offering?
That depends.
On what?
On whether Eddie is willing to cooperate.
There'll be no offers made because there's nothing more to say.
Look, we know what really happened, Eddie. We know that Lester stole your identity and took out a loan against your home.
I told you before, I took that loan out myself. I am not the victim here. I gave that money away because I wanted to.
But why do you insist on sticking to the same story? We're all here because we want to help you.
Eddie gets up.
I'm ready to go now.
The judge has ruled you fit to enter a plea. There's no going back now.
Keep talking.
You could seek a good year indication, which means that if you plead guilty now, you could significantly reduce your sentence.
I'm not interested.
Well, it could be the difference between 10 and 18 years, but my hands are tied unless you start talking.
There's a flicker of doubt in Eddie's nonchalant expression. Two uniformed guards are leading a handcuffed Eddie out through the CPS reception area when Natalie runs up.
What did you say to me, Dad?
He shuns her.
Jake!
I'm sorry. I did all I could.
She calls out to Eddie.
Why won't you help yourself?
He leaves via a revolving glass door and glances back at her before heading off with the guards. MIU Central Headquarters, Bow Street, Friday, April 18th. Natalie is sitting in reception, her head bowed as she stares down tearfully. Ronnie comes out through a glass gate into reception and stands in front of Natalie, who looks up at him.
I need you to do one more thing for me. I promise I won't ask again.
He sits with her.
You know more than most what Wes would do if he found out I saw you, let alone helped you out again.
Please, Ronnie, I don't know what else to do.
Oh.
She covers her eyes with her gloved hand. Ronnie awkwardly gives her arm a comforting pat.
When did I ever take any notice of my governor, hey?
She tries to smile through her tears.
Thanks.
Prison visiting area, Thamesmead, April 18th. A guard lets Eddie through a metal gate into a grassy, open-air prison area. Ronnie's waiting for him.
Hello, Eddie.
What do you want?
Eddie spots Natalie.
I've been set up.
Listen to her, please.
Oh, do you know what? Just let him go. He's always been too bloody pig-headed to ask for help.
You can't talk to me like that. I'm your father.
Then act like it for a change. Come on, 5 minutes and then I swear I'll not bother you again.
Wearing a red tabard, Eddie adopts a haughty expression and stands at a distance. She sighs and looks at him sadly.
Why didn't you go to the police?
Nothing to tell them.
Come on, I know what that man did to you. I know what he stole from you.
No one stole anything from me. How many times do I have to say it?
Oh, you don't change, do you? You're the same stubborn idiot you've always been. You'd rather risk going down for life than see your grandchildren marry and have children of their own. And for what? Because you're too bloody proud to admit the truth. I'm trying to help you and all you do is throw it back in my face. That's it as far as I'm concerned. I've spent weeks, months trying to defend you and I don't even know why anymore. Maybe people are right and I don't know who you are. After all, fraud or no fraud, it doesn't take away from the fact that you killed a man.
Her words hit home. Eddie's face falls and he nods humbly. He walks towards Natalie.
Bailiffs came banging on the door. All the neighbours stood watching. I tried to reason with them, but they said it was too late. That's when I called the bank. They told me what I'd done. Or should I say what he'd done? It was an email, you see, from Neil Lester. Win an all-expenses trip to Australia.
Oh. They sit at a table with bench seats.
So, there are all these questions, personal stuff.
So what information did you give him?
Date of birth, national insurance, number. You name it, I told him. What a bloody fool I've been.
How'd you find out where he lived?
One quick search of his email address. And it was out there for the world to see. And I thought, if I could just get my hands on that computer of his, I might be able to maybe get it all back somehow. But it's too late. It was all gone. Deleted. Like I never even existed. He showed no remorse. He just stood there. He made me feel so stupid. And he laughed, you know, right in my face. I tried to get away from him, but he had me backed into a corner. And then, I never meant to hurt him. I just wanted my life back.
Natalie stares at him sadly.
I've had to live with that day ever since. The day I killed a man. Left a child without a father. And for what? Pride.
She smiles gently and shakes her head.
Why didn't you tell me in the first place? I could have helped you.
I was afraid that you'd think I couldn't manage on my own. That's why you took your mum away from me, isn't it?
I did that to help you. Why else do you think I left my job?
She was my responsibility.
And I asked you to come with her, didn't I?
His brow furrows and he becomes tearful.
It's our home. It's all I had left. Of her.
Looking heartbroken, Natalie reaches out a hand to him across the table. Ronnie, wearing the collar of his Mac-up, stands with his hands in his pockets watching father and daughter. Ronnie smiles wistfully, then bows his head. Kate and Jake are working in their office when they look through their open blinds and see Natalie approaching. She enters wearing a subdued expression.
My dad will plead guilty to manslaughter.
On what basis?
He inflicted the blow, but he didn't go there with the intention of killing him or causing serious injury. He accepts that he caused death by his actions.
We'll do what we can.
Natalie nods and leaves. Jake shares a look with Kate. Crown v. Stewart, plea and case management hearing Monday, April 21st. The clerk of the court.
You have been charged with murder contrary to common law. The particulars of the offence are that on the 14th day of March, you murdered Neil Lester. To this charge, how do you plead?
Not guilty.
Eddie looks over at Natalie, who looks anxious.
But guilty of manslaughter.
Natalie looks relieved.
Mr. Thorne.
That plea is acceptable to the Crown. We ask that the charge of murder lie on file.
Then I suggest we adjourn for pre-sentencing reports.
Eddie stands humbly in the dock. Natalie sits in the gallery looking sadly over at her father. Audio description by Deluxe. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental.